So the rest of the hadith are discussing on this subject that we are never allowed to use our own opinions on religious matters. We have to refer to the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Of course, here some of the people, they use these hadith, they say the marja' is doing the same because he's doing ijtihad and is not following all the hadith. Sometimes he uses his own opinion. Now, is that of the same category? The opinion of the marja' is of the same category, or it is of a different category? Then, if this is, these hadith show that we should not follow our own opinion, this means ijtihad is not right and we should not follow a mujtahid. Of course, no, the matter is not like this. Because the marja' will not use his own opinion. He will read and study the Holy Quran and the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and try to understand the meaning of them and try to compare a hadith. Some of them might be wrong, some of them are right, and he chooses the right hadith from the wrong ones and follow the right ones. So his ijtihad is not following his own opinion actually, because he don't follow his opinion. He has so many hadith and he chooses, sometimes there is contradiction between a hadith, so he chooses whatever suitable on the basis of which hadith is right and which hadith is not right or weak, or the narrators are not understood, and so on different ways. So the mujtahid actually is using his efforts and knowledge and ability not to follow his idea, but to understand the Holy Quran and the hadith in a best possible way. He is not, according to this, that he's following his right, his opinion or qiyas or other things. That is not used by our maraji at all. Well, some who believes on akhbar or the akhbaris, they say we don't need ijtihad, we follow only a hadith. Only we read the traditions and we tell the people that this is the tradition and this is its meaning. Now it's up to you to whatever you understand and whatever you want to follow. They say it is better to go in this way and tell people only a hadith. So the people will understand hadith of the Holy Prophet or the Imam and follow it. So I have not put my opinion in it at all. Well, why they say that? Because they want to avoid putting their own opinion with the hadith. So they said, if somebody asks me a mas'ala, I will reply him the same as the meaning of the hadith. But you see, in this way, again they are using their own ijtihad. Because some of the hadiths are contradicting. What he will do? He has to reject one and accept one. So that is, he has chosen something. Some of the hadith, their meanings are not very clear in Arabic. Now he has to explain it to the person that this is the meaning. Now when you say this is the meaning, you are using your own opinion. Maybe another alim, he said, well, I think the meaning is not this. The meaning is something else that is meant on other basis. So now if two people can explain one hadith in two different meanings, and this is exactly the ijtihad, we say the ijtihad. So depending on a hadith itself, again, will not be useful for ordinary public people. But I read the hadith and I know. It is like the sick when he said, okay, I will read medical books. In medical books I go and read, well, if you have headache, you have, can use this and that tablet and that is all. Well, this is not useful. This is useful for doctors as a mujtahid in their own field. Because he knows different types of headache and different medicines used for headache, and now this patient, what type and what medicine is needing. Now, one hadith to be taken alone may not clarify facts. One has to take all the hadith together and compare them with the Quran, and then read the narrators, life history of narrators, which one is trustworthy, and compare the meanings, and then come out with common idea. So reading one hadith alone may not give us all the picture, because so many other hadith are that contradicting, or will say atam mustaqiyya, or some of the hadith shows mustahab. Imam says do it. Do it means it is mustahab, and sometimes say do it means wajib. So now both is good to be encouraged. How to differentiate between mustahab and wajib? Is the order which comes, you say you do it. You do means what? Is it obligatory you should do it, or it is recommended you should do it? On what a hadith when you say do it is wajib, on what a hadith it is mustahab? So that one has to compare all the hadith. Now if you see 10 hadith, in 2 or 3 correct hadith, it says up to you, but if you do it better. And in another hadith they said you do it. So now 8 hadith shows it is wajib, but 2 hadith which are also correct shows it is mustahab. So here we can understand that do it, the order in those ahadith is because it is recommended, not because it is obligatory. So that is how the mujtahid, you know, takes the ahkam. He will not follow his own opinion. Naturally, he will go through ahadith and through the Holy Quran. So the system of ijtihad is not actually izra'i or qiyas or istihsan. No, we never use these systems by a mujtahid. Now some people sometimes doubt. They say there are certain points are not mentioned in the Quran or Hadith. Actually, the chapter number 20 is saying that the contrary to that. 20 chapter on taking every case back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Verily, there is nothing from what is lawful and what is unlawful and what is needed by the mankind, but the Book of Allah and the Sunnah includes it. You see the first hadith on Murazim from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam as saying, verily Allah the Almighty has revealed in Quran the description of each and everything to such an extent as to leave out nothing which mankind needs. The description is so all-inclusive that there is nothing a man could wish, saying, will it be revealed in the Quran, but is already revealed in it. Well, this is very clear hadith. An imam is swearing by Allah. He said, by Allah, Allah has not left anything which the people need except has included it in the Holy Quran. Whatever the people may wish, that I wish if I know these things in Quran or if it has been mentioned in Quran, whatever the people will wish, it is already mentioned and revealed in the Holy Quran. But well, that is why I say وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything we have gathered in a clear imam. So not everybody knows the muhkam and mutashabih and zahir and batin and nasikh and mansukh of the Holy Quran. We need to refer to the imam who is infallible, and he will explain the details of the Quran. And that is why the Holy Prophet did not say that I am leaving behind me the Holy Quran alone. He said two weighty things, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So they are the one who can explain things for us. You see hadith number 2, the same meaning from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave anything which is needed by Ummah except it has been mentioned in the Quran and clarified for the Holy Prophet. And he made for everything there is a limit. And there is a sign for it. So anybody who exceeds that limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he deserves a punishment. So again, insisting that everything is mentioned. Well, the third hadith is again like that. The fourth hadith is also having that, that nothing exists but it has been described in the book of Allah and as-Sunnah. So either Book of Allah or sunnah of the Prophet. Here, said a sunnah. Of course, a sunnah will clarify the Quran more. It's not contradicting the Quran. Well, the first hadith, Imam is insisting on this matter. And again, the sixth hadith, he clarifying why we do not find it. Imam said there can be no issue which is the subject of dispute between two persons but whose essence and solution is found in the Holy Book of Allah, the Almighty. However, the intelligence of the people is not sharp enough to reach it. Our mind is not sharp enough to reach it, so we cannot reach it. But knowledge of the Imams, alayhim as-salam, can reach that. Well, hadith number 7 is a long hadith, but still concentrating on that. Well, hadith number 8 is interesting. We'll read it. Say, from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam is saying, I have been given birth by the Messenger of Allah, because he is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. I know of the Book of Allah, how the Creator originated, and what will happen till the Day of Judgment. All is to be found in this Holy Book of Allah. It tells everything about the heavens, the earth, the paradise, the hell, and also about what has been and what will be. So everything which will happen till the Day of Judgment is mentioned in the Quran. We don't know about it. I know them all as clearly as though they were mirrored in the palm of my hand. Lo, Allah the Almighty has himself proclaimed about his book. It contains description of all things. Tibyanan likulli shay. Well, in Surah An-Nahl, Ayah 89, well, Allah said that it has, the Holy Quran can clarify everything. Naturally, there must be there, but we don't know about it. Well, hadith number 9 again, Imam said the Book of Allah has everything, but at the end he said, but we know about it. So the Imam knows what is there in Quran. Hadith number 10, same thing, but Imam insisting that everything is mentioned in the Book of Allah and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Naturally, in Sunnah, Imam knows, but the people may not know about the Sunnah of the Prophet clearly. We come to the chapter 21, Bab Ikhtilaf al-Hadith, chapter on conflicting traditions. Well, there are many traditions conflicting with each other. Now, what to do and how to deal with it? Well, the first hadith is the same hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, from the book of Sulaym ibn Qais al-Hilali. Sulaym ibn Qais was one of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He wrote a book and he mentioned many historical facts in it besides some traditions. And he mentioned about what happened on the time of Bay'at for Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, and the details of attack of her house and her going to the mosque, etc. Some of the ulama say this book is not very trustworthy, but Allama Majlisi, he says that I have a strong belief that it is a right book and trustworthy. And from what is mentioned in the book, from the language of mentioned the ahadith, it shows that one can trust what is mentioned in that book. Now we see in this hadith, in short, Imam alayhi salam was saying to people that about how the hadith are differing from each other, because Imam alayhi salam saying something but other people say something else. So Imam is explaining that what is in hand of people is haq and batil. Some of it is truth, some of them is falsehood. Some of it is right, some of it is just lying. Some of it is nasikh, abrogated, and some of the things which were abrogated. Some is aam and other is khas. Some is general law and some is a special law. Now if it is special for certain occasions, you cannot use it on a general idea. And if something which is general, you cannot apply it on certain occasions. So it depends on environment where that hadith was said. The people have to know that detail which they don't know. And there is muhkam and mutashabah. Muhkam and mutashabah, again, something looks very clear, right? Something are things look similar and misleading the idea. So only imams, they know how to explain these. Some of the people remember a hadith of the Holy Prophet. Some of them just guess that they have heard a hadith on the Prophet. So he said, at time of the Prophet, some people were attributing false statements to the Holy Prophet to such an extent that the Holy Prophet himself said, "O people, those who attribute false statements to me are in great numbers. Whoever attributes any false statement to me secures his abode in the hell." Then the Prophet went on attributing false statements to him after his death. "Whatever traditions you the people have received are from four categories of narrators. There is no fifth category." Now here, Imam is explaining why the people do not, they differ with each other, and the Holy Prophet has explained it in advance. The first is a hypocrite who possesses himself as a believer, and actually is a sham Muslim. Attributing false statements to the Prophet intentionally is not considered by him as a sin, nor does he mind such an attribution. Were the people even to know how false and hypocritical he is, they would never accept a word from him, nor would they corroborate his statement. It was this type of man about whom people started saying, "This is the one who had been honored by the company of the Prophet and who had actually seen and heard the Prophet." People accepted traditions from him without knowing his credentials. Allah the Almighty had told his Prophet about the hypocrite all what was to be told, and had detailed all the characteristics that were to be detailed. Allah the Almighty has said, "So when thou sees them, marvel thee their personalities, and if they speak, thou listens unto their speech." Well, here Imam is explaining about the first category, which are hypocrites, and Imam is explaining from the Holy Prophet that the Holy Prophet said, the first group who will lie upon me are the hypocrites. The people do not know that they are hypocrites. They respect them because they were companions to the Prophet, but actually they were hypocrites. Even the Holy Quran has said that when you see them, you like their body. They are very strong, good, nice looking. And if they say, you will listen to them, but actually they are munafiq. What is in their heart is not coming in their tongues and in their face. So now, they do not feel it is tend to lie upon the Prophet. So they can cook themselves a hadith and say the Prophet said, and the people believe them because they were companions. The people do not know their intention and do not know their ideas. So this is one of the categories. Naturally, such a hadith which comes from these hypocrites are false hadith and false statements. The second category is he who has actually heard something from the Prophet but was not able to retain it in his mind and fell into doubt. He never intentionally told a lie, but he started speaking, practicing and propagating what he remembered incorrectly and sketchily, and at the same time claimed that I have heard the Prophet say so. If the Muslim community had known that he was in error, they would never have accepted his words. And if the man himself had known that he was mistaken, he would have himself rejected his own version. So now this second category, the man hears something from the Prophet, but he do not retain it. Intentionally he is not lying, and that is true, he hears the Prophet, but he did not know what he has heard exactly, and he follow his own idea and his own guess. So the Muslims, if they know that he is guessing and he has not retained things, they will not accept him. But they do not know, and they know he was a companion, he was a good man, he is not a liar, he is not a hypocrite. They accept him. So the problem is in his memory. He did not retain or did not understand things. Well, just ordinary man, but the man who, the reason why he is giving wrong hadith, the Holy Prophet is explaining. The first category, hypocrites, they intentionally lie. This is the second category, they are not a liar, but they have misunderstood the hadith or misremembered the hadith. They hear something from the Prophet, he do not retain it, do not understand it, and he will follow what he has understood. He did not know or he did not remember exactly what the Prophet has said. And he thinks what he believes and what he understands is the right thing, which is not right thing. Though he is a companion, though what he says, I mean, he is not a liar, he is a trustworthy, but the problem is with his memory and with his mind. So that is why sometimes he gives certain statements which are wrong. That is one of the reasons why certain traditions are wrong, though the people are trustworthy. It is because they did not retain the meaning of the hadith correctly. No special name, no. It is just category of people. Not munafiq, no. So they do not intend to lie, but they have not understood the thing properly. So what they say is wrong, but intentionally they are not lying. So that is the second. The third category is of the person who has heard the Prophet ordering something to be done, but the Prophet later on forbade the same. The man knows the former, but is unaware of the latter. Or the man has heard the Prophet forbidding something, but afterwards the Prophet has made it permissible. The man knows the former, but does not know the latter. Thus the man was in the know of the abrogated, but was not aware of it abrogated. If he had been aware that it has been abrogated, he himself would have withdrawn his own narrated traditions. If the Muslims had been in the know that the Prophet had cancelled what the man has related, they would have themselves rejected his version. So you see here, the third category of people, they hear the Prophet say something, that issue was abrogated later on. Now he did not hear what has been abrogated. What he says is right, he is not a liar, he is a trustworthy, he was companion of the Prophet, so the people will follow him because what he says is right. they don't know that what he says is right, true, but this thing was abrogated and this man is unaware of it. If the Muslims would have known that the things were abrogated, naturally they will not follow. But neither the Muslims know, nor he, the man himself, knows about it. So he relates to the Prophet certain things which were abrogated and he don't know about them. Naturally, then he will not say what Sharia is saying, you know, because whatever is abrogated should not be followed, the new thing should be followed. Now the fourth category are, the fourth and the last is the category of the person who had never attributed false statements to the Prophet and who hated false statements because of his fear of Allah and reverence for the Prophet. He never forgets anything from what he had heard from the Prophet. He always relates exactly what he had heard from the Prophet without adding anything to or subtracting anything from it. He is in the know of both what supersedes and also what has been superseded, or what has been abrogated actually. Hence he acts according to what supersedes, leaving aside the superseded. Verily the commands of the Prophet are also like the verses of the Quran, which consist of the superseded and superseding. Well, precise, well, the muhkam he translates as precise, and the ambiguous or mutashabih, and multi-meaning. Like Quran, the Prophet's wording also had two aspects, that is the general and the specific. As Almighty Allah Himself has said, and whatever giveth you the Apostle, you accept it, and from whatever prevented he, you be away. And he continued, so he said, the other person is trustworthy, he remembers everything, he says whatever the Prophet has said, and so on. And but sometimes the people who do not know the meaning of what the Prophet has said, it will be not clear for them, and they don't know what was the real intention of the Prophet by saying so. And not all companions of the Holy Prophet used to ask him about things and they understand him properly. And some of them were never asking him, never putting any questions. They like that somebody from Bedouin, from other area, to come and ask the Holy Prophet so that they hear the reply. So after all this introduction, then Imam Ali alayhi salam started saying about himself that he used to enter to house of the Prophet every day and every night and sit with him and listen to him and talk to him and so on. And sometimes the Holy Prophet used to come to his house and used to talk to him. If I stop, he will start teaching me and telling me. So whatever has been revealed to the Holy Prophet of any ayah of the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet used to recite it to Imam Ali, and he used to write it with his words and tell him what is the real meaning and what is the tafsir of it, and what is nasikh and mansukh, and what is muhkam and mutashabah.